This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Lucy Dean. In this week's program, a radio journalist in South Sudan highlights the benefits of speaking many languages. And the fall armyworm is spreading fast across southern Africa from the Americas. But first, the fighting must stop in South Sudan if at least 100,000 people are to be saved from famine, UN aid agencies said on Monday. The World Food Programme, or WFP, one of the organisations to launch the joint appeal, said that the current crisis is man-made, in reference to the ongoing civil war. WFP's Bettina Lucia spoke to Daniel Johnson about the need to preposition aid around the country now, before the rainy season begins.
This famine that we are seeing now in South Sudan is man-made. We have been trying with all our might to avoid this. We have mounted a huge humanitarian response, and we've repeatedly warned that, you know, there's only so much that humanitarian assistance can do if the country doesn't have peace and security.
And the point is that this famine appeal means that people are already dying.
Yes, they are already dying. If you declare a famine, you already have seen higher numbers of deaths than usual. You see children extremely malnourished. That's why it's so important that we crank up our operations even more, that we get more donations, that we get more access to these people who are caught in a nightmarish situation. Some 100,000 people are already facing starvation, and we are concerned a further 1 million are on the brink of famine. So the situation is dire.
Yes, and of that number, over 250,000 children are already severely malnourished. I mean, it must break your heart to see that in these circumstances, it's always children who seem to be the worst affected.
Yeah, the children are the ones that get hit first. Their bodies weaken very, very quickly. They have much less resilience than the adults. And that's why we always focus on the children together with our friends from UNICEF, special nutritional food, special medical treatment, anything to save really this next generation. Really what we're seeing is that South Sudan is in the middle of a perfect storm. The economy is suffering. There's hyperinflation. Farmers weren't able to plant for years now. They are on the run. Fighting has been going on. Borders were affected because of fighting that traders couldn't come across borders. All of these things are coming together and creating this. If we humanitarians had the access and the safety and security to get to the people in need, this wouldn't have happened. But there's also really a limit of what the humanitarians can do. Together with the other agencies, the World Food Programme is having rapid response teams. They're going in with helicopters to areas where you can't go in other ways. We are airdropping food. But we are concerned that the situation is going to get worse in the summer because the rainy season is starting. We need to pre-position food, bring it in there before the roads become impassable. That's why the urgency and the need to do much more now.
The so-called fall armyworm pest is a new threat to agriculture and the economy of southern Africa, which has already spread to seven countries since the beginning of the year. That's according to an emergency meeting convened by the Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, in the Zimbabwean capital, Harare, last week, to work out how best to respond to the rapidly growing threat. The crop-eating armyworm is endemic in parts of the Americas, where the government of Brazil alone spends more than $600 million US each year trying to control it. East and southern African countries agreed on an urgent plan of action to boost both regions' capacity to managing emerging threats to crops and livestock. Sandra Ferrari asked David Piri, FAO's sub-regional coordinator for Southern Africa, to outline the array of different threats facing farmers and their livelihoods.
The biggest impact ones are the fall worm, which is a type of armyworm, Tuta absoluta, which is a leaf miner. There's also maize necrosis disease for crops. With respect to livestock, we have foot and mouth disease, we have anthrax. These are causing a lot of problems already in the sub-region. And we fear that the avian influenza, H5N8, which currently has been confirmed in Uganda, is suspected to have already infected two other countries in Eastern Africa, maybe coming down south because of the wild birds that migrate to the south from time to time. Now, with respect to the fall armyworm, it is a new pest in Southern Africa. It is endemic in the Americas, but for the first time, it is now in at least 7 countries in Southern Africa. What concerns us is the speed at which this pest is spreading, considering that only in January, the first country in Southern Africa had this pest, but as I speak, already 7 countries, and we think that it will spread further. It is also a pest that is very, very difficult to control.
Is there a sense of how much damage the region has seen so far as a result of these issues?
When it attacks, and if the farmers do not know what it is and there is delay in the reporting or doing anything about it, it can easily wipe up to about 70% of the crop. And there is evidence that this has happened in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and in South Africa, as well as in Malawi. So it is a very dangerous pest. The countries have been just doing assessments now on exactly how much hectare has been affected. It is also only now that they are also doing assessments of the intensity of the damage. Now, this meeting has had an opportunity to hear of some of those estimates, but it's early days yet before they complete the assessment.
Now, what are the biggest concerns for experts trying to combat these pests?
The biggest concern for experts is the fact that it is a pest that attacks not only maize, which is the major staple in Southern Africa, but it attacks also several families of cereals and other crops. And unfortunately, it can also attack forage, which can be used for livestock. So for issues of crop production as well as livestock production, it presents a huge problem.
A radio journalist at the UN mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, is highlighting the benefits of multilingualism. Sebi Abdu, who speaks 10 languages, says he automatically feels at home in the places where they are spoken. Mr. Abdu spoke to Sebit William on International Mother Language Day, observed annually on February 21. The two colleagues who work for Radio Maria began by exchanging greetings in 5 of the languages spoken in South Sudan: Zand, Nur, Dinka, Mari, and Bari.
Let's begin with languages that you speak, but let's begin. Jinipai?
Paite, Bakuma, Kelete.
Monengai.
Oh.
Let's go. Male.
Male Madid.
Jinesin. Chibak.
Chibak.
Gweda Dolawood.
Nalawood, yeah,
Gweda. Ingoni Nyitui. Owira. Okay, Anjo. Now we go to the neighboring countries. How do they say good morning in Uganda?
There are many languages in Uganda. We have Luganda, we have Rutoro, and Runyankore.
And in Luganda, how do they say good morning?
Good morning, Osoro Gambantino, Watsuzotia.
Watsuzotia Sebo.
Natsuzebrunj.
Ndiwano. All right, Sebi, how many languages can you possibly speak?
I speak 10 languages so far.
10?
Yeah, then I hear more than 4 or 5.
Okay, and how and why did you learn these languages?
You know, Sebi, it's quite interesting. I remember the days when I used to be in Uganda. I used to have a very bad experience. When you go to the market with your friends, Ugandan friends, perhaps you go and ask something in Luganda or Runyankore or Rutoro, they just end up telling you Tinkumanya. Tinkumanya in Runyankore, which means I don't know.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you're asking something in English, they just tell you Anamarho. Mm-hmm. So it forced me actually to learn their language, to be part of them.
All right. So what opportunities has knowing more than 2 languages brought to you?
Well, Sebit, is very important. One thing, you get involved and you socialize with them, because wherever I go or wherever I go to that particular community that I speak their languages, automatically I just fit than someone who doesn't know anything, you know. I become part of them. They really even enjoy my presence. They wonder, how can this South Sudanese black man speak this my language? You know, they also get surprised.
Yes, Sebit, what advice could you give someone seeking to learn a new language today?
Well, it's very important. I just want to tell my brothers and sisters, let's not undermine somebody's tribe, somebody's language. It's very good to learn. You take time to learn languages because it gives you experience, it gives you chances of many things, you know.
Some people say to start learning a language, you should begin with those insults. I don't believe it, but is that something you've heard before?
Yes, this is one thing. A friend of mine at one time told me, but that's not the right word.
You get yourself in trouble. Never do that. Sebi Tinate Paring Manjaro Kwasi. Thank you so much. And of course, have a lovely day.
Thank you, my brother.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Lucy Dean.